Emlyn's Moon, The Magician Trilogy, Book 2, written by Jenny Nimmo and read by Sean Phillips.
Chapter 1, The Boy from the Chapel. "Don't go into Llewellyn's chapel," they told Nia. "No good will come of it. Something happened there." But Nia disobeyed. If she hadn't, nothing would have changed. She'd still be plain Nia, dull Nia, Nia who couldn't do anything. It all began on the day they left Tŷ Llŷr. The children, tucked between boxes in the back of the Land Rover, were waiting for their mother to lock up. Nia was propped on a rolled mattress at the open end of the car. She was gazing at a red geranium in the kitchen window, the only bright thing left. And then the flower was lifted out of the dark window by unseen hands. It reappeared in the doorway, perched upon a pile of towels in her mother's arms. "I nearly forgot it," Mrs. Lloyd beamed over the geranium. Nia wished she had forgotten the flower, just for a day or two. At least there would have been something left alive in Tŷ Llŷr. If a house could look forlorn, then that's how Tŷ Llŷr seemed to her. Curtains gone from the windows, the farmyard bare and tidy, and a stillness so unnatural it almost hurt. A stray feather drifted in the sunlight, the only reminder that chickens had once inhabited the yard. It was May, but the ewes and their lambs had gone, and the only sound came from the bees in the giant sycamore tree. Even the children in the Land Rover were silent. Leaving their home had ceased to be an exciting idea. Suddenly, it had become a rather shocking reality. Mrs. Lloyd climbed up to sit beside her husband. The engine started. The spell was broken. An excited shouting and chattering broke out. Nia was the only one to look back and see the boy beneath the sycamore. He was standing so close to the shadowy tree trunk that she could barely make out his shape, but she knew it was Gwyn Griffiths, by the mass of dark hair and the way he stood, hands in pockets, so very still and thoughtful. No other boy could do that. Nia nudged her brother, wedged in beside her. "Look, Alan, there's Gwyn." There was so much noise, so much movement amongst the seven children packed tightly together between boxes and cases that Alan neither felt nor heard Nia, so she raised her own hand and waved, rather tentatively. The boy beneath the tree responded. "He's waving, Alan," Nia shouted above the rumpus.
"What? Who?"
"Gwyn."
"Oh!
He's come to say goodbye! Alan, quick!" Alan leant over his sister, accidentally knocking the sheepdog's nose with his elbow. Fly yelped, the Land Rover lurched round a bend, and Alan was flung backwards on top of his twin brothers, Sean and Gareth, who were too happy to grumble. Gwyn Griffiths disappeared from sight. The Land Rover rattled on, down the mountain, gathering speed as the lane became steeper, and the chatter in the back increased to an hysterical crescendo of excitement. Katrin even broke into song. Mr. Lloyd joined in, humming gustily. He'd done it at last, broken free of the farm that his ailing father-in-law had begged him to take over. Yestin Lloyd was a small, dark man, his face as weather-tanned as any hill farmer, but he was too fond of his food and a good pint to stay as fit as he should, too gregarious to enjoy the solitary existence that suited his neighbour, Ivor Griffith, so well. But he had tried. No one could say he hadn't. For 15 years he'd struggled with hard mountain earth, with ewes trapped in snow and lambs lost, and he had failed. He would never make a good farmer. His heart wasn't in it. And with another child on the way, he had to find some way of earning a decent living.